Okay, we are in Yeshayahu Perek Tezvav, and we continue descriptions of nevuos that will occur to the nations of the world. Right? We just, again, after Yemos HaMashiach, we have Perek Yudalef and Yudbeis, where it's all about Mashiach. Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, we just had two prakim about Bavel and Nebuchadnezzar specifically. The next two prakim will be about another enemy of the Jews throughout Tanakh, and that is Moav. Moav is just due east of Eretz Yisrael, to the east of the Jordan, and Moav has a history with Am Yisrael, right? They live there. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tell them, on the way into Eretz Yisrael, we were not allowed to go into Moav, right? Al Tatsar of Moav, Al Tiskar Bam, right? We couldn't fight, so we had to go east, under, south of Eretz Yisrael, then go up, past Ammon, past Moab, and then go up and around in through the land of the Emori, right? Really, that land that we went through to then cross the Yarden originally belonged to Moab as well. But Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah tells us that earlier, previously, before we conquered the land in the end of Bamidbar in Parachav Aleph, Pasachav Dalet through Chavav, Emori, the Emorim had conquered. Sichon, the king of Emori, had conquered Moav, and then that was mitaherit, so to speak, that we were allowed to conquer. The Torah tells us in Parshas Chukas, Vayishlach Yisrael Malachim el Sichon Melech Emori Lemor. The Jews sent Malachim to Sichon. Ebrav Artzecha. We're just passing through. We're just going to pass through to go to Eretz Yisrael. Lo Nishtem Me Be'er, but Derech HaMelech Nelech Upeyu. V'lo nasan Sichon is Yisrael avar bigvulo. Sichon did not let them. V'yeesov Sichon is kol amo. Sichon got to fight. V'yetze likras Yisrael amidbara. V'yavo yatzav aliyachim b'Yisrael. And what happened? We defeated them. V'yakeu Yisrael lefi charev. V'yirash es arzo. Right, some of these psukim aren't always focused on. At the end of Chukas, we beat them. V'yikach Yisrael es kol ha'arim ha'ele. We took the cities, which eventually will become part of Reuben, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe. Right, the land of Eber HaYarden. V'yeshev Yisrael b'chol areha emori, b'cheshbon u'v'chol b'noseha. And then the Torah adds one pasuk. Ki cheshbon ir sichon melech ha'emori hi. Cheshbon was the city of Sichon Emori. V'hu nilcham, he had previously fought b'melech Moav, Harishon, earlier. V'yikach has kol atzom miyado ad Arnon, and he'd taken the land from Moav, and that is what allowed us to then take it. Right? That's what the Gemara says in Gittin. The Gemara says in Gittin on Daf, Lamid Ches, Amid Aleph. The language of the Gemara is three words, four words. Amar Papa, Amunu Moav, Tiharo B'Sichon. Sichon purified, meaning we have a pasuk in Chumash that we're not allowed to go fight them. Right? Al Tatzar es Moav, Al Tutzarim, Al Tiskarbam by Ammon and Moav. But that's only Moav. Once Ammon had defeated Moav, that's when we were allowed to go and conquer the land. Rashi writes there in Gittin Lamed Ches, Alma mibnei Ammon kavshuha, v'hadur Yisrael v'kavshu minei, v'tiyar lahem al yado. Right, that's in the context of Kinyanim in the fourth parak of Gittin. So that was Moab. So they were conquered. They had a smaller area east of the Jordan. Ammon conquered them, and then we conquered Ammon and went through. But we find throughout Navi, Moab keeps cropping up and popping up and going westward, trying to attack Am Yisrael. They helped out Sancherev on the way when he was attacking us. But then, as this parak discusses, they are massacred and defeated by Sancherev himself. Right, they helped out because they wanted to fight B'nai Yisrael. They were also anti-Semites, but it did not work out well for them. It's not the only time, right? They also, we learned in Malachim, and also was described at length in Divrei Hayamim, that they tried to fight the Jews in the times of Yehoshaphat. The times of Yehoshaphat, one of the great kings, Divrei Hayamim Beis, Perek Chaf, the whole battle is described, that they started, Moab and Ammon started coming against Yehoshaphat. Yehoshaphat gathered the Jews, they fasted, and he has an unbelievable tefillah, about Tem Sukkim, Davening, Hashem, you said, we should come to this house, Beis HaMikdash, and if we come here, and we're all, L'Shem Shemayim, you will answer us. He goes through a little history. Vayomar, Hashem Elokei Avoseinu, Halo Atohu Elokim Bashamayim, Biata Moshe B'chamam L'chos Hagayim, Uviyadcha Kachu Gvura, V'chulu, Halo Atoh Shalom Elokeinu, Hatolakenu Horashtes Oshvi Aretz Hazos, you helped us out. Vayeshvuba, and we live there. And you said, Im Tavo Aleinu Ra'ah, Cheref, Shvot, V'cheref, V'dever, V'rav, Namdolafne Abayas Azeh Ulufanecha, kishimcha babayis hazeh. We will cry, v'nizak eilecha mitzaraseinu v'sishma v'soshia. You promised, so listen up, God. Ata hine b'nei amonu moav harseir, shalona sata l'Yisrael avo bahem, b'voam eiras Mitzrayim. We didn't fight them. We went around. We didn't cause trouble, and they're busy causing trouble to us. Please, you have to help us out. V'kol Yehuda omdim l'fnei Hashem gam tapam nishayim b'vneihem. And Yehoshaphat was able to conquer and battle them. But at this stage, later in history, they went and teamed up with Sancheriv, and they caused the gullios of the northern tribes. They helped out, but Yeshayahu is again saying, hundreds of years before it occurs, that they will get their due as well. They shouldn't think that where they are right now is where they're going to stay. So here we go, two prakim, first parak, relating to Moav. Perek Tesvav. Masa Moav. Right? Masa is the same word that we used two prakim ago describing Bavel. It is a heavy prophecy. Masa is a load. So this is a heavy prophecy on Moav. And it basically describes destruction and crying. Ki Belel Shudad Or. Moav. Nidma. At the night. Belel. It was at night. There was a surprise attack on Cherev had on them. There was no defense at all. Shudad Ar, right? The whole city was attacked by Sancheriv. Nidma. It became silent. Ki Belel, Shudad, Kir, Moav, Nidma. Right? Again, the night it was silenced. Allah Habayis. So what'd they do when they started being attacked? So they went to their house of Avodah Zarah. Allah Habayis v'divon ha-bamos lebechi. They went up to their house and divon to the bamos. Al nevova, al medva, moav, yeyelil. They went to cry. Didn't help. What happened? Bakal roshav karcha, kol zakan gedua. They tore out their hair. They tore out their beards. We know that was a sign of mourning. Tearing out here. There's an Isser Daraisa for us, for Jews, to tear out their hair. Alameis. Lo sikrachu karcha al rosham. Right? It's oviv saram lesu saratis. We can't scratch ourselves. We can't tear out the hair. But that's a sign of mourning. And that's exactly what they did in this situation. Bechukosav chagrusak. And outside they wore sackcloth, al gagoseha, uverchovoseh, kulo, yiyelil, yorid bebechi. They're all going to be crying, Yeshayahu says in the future. Vatizak, cheshbon, ve'elale, these are all cities, ad yatish, call them all the way by yatz. Some of these cities mentioned in this parak are the cities that are mentioned by Midbar that were inhabited by Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh. Which means that after Reuven, Gad, and Manasseh were sent into Galus earlier, Moav came back to reoccupy the cities that were taken originally by Sichon Melech Amori. But they went back and they re-inhabited them. Al kein chalutze Moav Yariu. The army, the officials, cry out, Nafsho Yaralo. What is Nafsho Yaralo? So most say that means that it's another lashon of trua, of crying. Rav Hirsch, I saw, says that no, Nafsho, its own soul Yaralo, from the word Ra'ah, evil. You brought this on yourself, Moav. Right, don't think that, oh, you're great tzaddikim. No, that the fact that Sancheriv destroyed you is because of what you did to Am Yisrael. And then a very unusual, or a very, maybe, expected pasuk based on who Yeshayahu was. Next three words. Libi l'moav yizak. In this perek, all about destruction of Moav, what does Yeshayahu say? My heart goes out to Moav. My heart cries for Moav. Rashi. What does Rashi say? Neviyah Yisrael, einam ki neviyah omos ha'olam. Jewish prophets, Nevi'i Yisrael, are not like the Nevi'im of the other nations. Bilam ayim avakesh la'akaris Yisrael. Alo davar. Bilam prophesied or wanted to prophesy our destruction for no reason. We never did anything to Bilam. Unevi'i Yisrael misoninim al peronis haba al ha'umos. And Nevi'i Yisrael, Yeshayahu, even if they deserve it, he's not so happy about it. He'd rather not have done it in the first place. He'd rather them not get destroyed if they, you know, didn't need it. They need it because of what they did. But that's a very important lesson that we learn. Libi lo'av yizak, he cries even for Moab. Right? This reminds us of the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, where Shmuel HaKatan says, Binfal oyivcha al tismach. When your enemies fall, do not celebrate. Again, it's a pasuk in Mishlei. But Shmuel HaKatan was the one that made it famous, that always said it. Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Pirkei Avos, at the end of the fourth parak, where that statement is said. Uma ba'al hashmi'enu Shmuel HaKatan. What is Shmuel teaching us? Harayu pasuk shalemu v'shlomo melech amru. Rabbeinu Yonah knew Mishlei by heart. So he's saying, what's the chiddush of Shmuel HaKatan? It's a pasuk in Navi. It's pasuk in Ksuvim. So what does he mean? Shmuel HaKatan Omer. Every other phrase in Pirkei Avos is a phrase of the Tana. Here, all he does is quote a pasuk in Ksuvim. So what's the chiddush? Ella says Rabbeinu Yonah. Shahayu Rogil Shmuel Omar Pasuk Zeh. He always said it. Mibnei Shehu Davar Hatzarich Ubnei Adam Nechshalin Bo. It's so needed. He wanted to make this famous because we all stumble. If we're upset at somebody, we're happy when they mess up, right? If we have a business, not an enemy, a competitor. When we have a friend who we're annoyed at. It's so, even if we will never do it, nekama, we will never act upon it. But when somebody falls, you know, we don't feel so bad. Gambi yosa oyev Russia, aimless mach barasso. And what does Shmuel HaKatan say? Even if he's a Russia, even if he's anti, bilti mibnei Hashem levado, ritzoneinu lomar, ki gam hatzadik lo yismach b'pavalos rishoyim, ach im kavana simchaso mibnei Hashem palaso kvod shamayim hu. If it's causing a chil Hashem, his existence, and when he's removed, if a Russia is removed, I could celebrate, but not that celebrate per se, that he got his revenge, but that there's more kvod shamayim in the world, there's more of a kiddush Hashem that is now possible. The Baruch Sha'amar also discusses this, the Torah Tamima, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, where he mentions, again, that many point out, Shmuel HaKatan, the one who followed Yishayahu's path here. Ben Fala Yifchal Tismach, he's the one that Dafka was able, he was appointed by the Rabbanan to write the bracha of Olam HaShinim. Right, in Meseches Brachas, V'lam HaShinim Adi Sikva, Hashem, please remove us from the pain of the heretics. Why Dafka, was he the one that was chosen? Because he was the one that you could make sure, you could know for sure it was L'Shem Shamayim. He's not writing, oh, take revenge on these guys, I hate them. It wasn't a personal vendetta that Shmuel HaKatan has. Right? He was called Katkan, he was mocked in Atzmo. He didn't hold himself up at all. And that's why they got him to write V'lam HaShinim, because they knew the words here would be totally L'Shem Shamayim, because that's what he represents. Bin Fola Yivchal Tismach, he can write V'lam HaShinim. He is the one that is true. The Mefarshim also point out that this is classic what we do. We don't celebrate our enemy's defeat per se. We celebrate just our salvation. And now we can serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why he's pointed out that Purim is on the 14th of Adar, not on the 13th. The 13th, we won the war. So why don't we celebrate that day? No. We finished the war, but now we can sit and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the day of Menucha, and that is what is celebrated by Purim. That's all based on this phrase, Libi L'Moav Yisak. My heart goes out to Moav because of the tragedy that is occurring. But there's another halachic issue that comes up in this regard. Midfala Yivchal Tismach. So it's not the exact same words, but the Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses this too. The Gemara in Sanhedrin discusses that the Malachim, this is on Lamed Tes Amid Beis, the Malachim asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Mai Dechziv Lo Karav Ze El Ze Kol HaLayla, Ba'osa Shah, at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, Bikshu Malachi Asharis Lo Bashir Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Malachim wanted to sing to Hashem at Kriyas Yamsuf. Amar Lem Hashem says, Amar Lem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Masa Yadai Tovin Bayam Ba'atem Omrim Shira Lefanai. My creatures are drowning in the Yam. You want to sing Shira? Inappropriate. Not time to say Shira, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Malachim. Question, we said Shira, Az Yashir Moshe? So how could we say Shira? So the Mefarshim explained, no, because we went through it. Again, we weren't celebrating so much their downfall, but our salvation, which their downfall brought. If we went through it, so then that is what is allowed. But this is also not just a story in the Gemara about the Malachim. This is a basis for a halacha. We know that there is a difference between the Hallel we say on Pesach and the Hallel we say on Sukkos. On Sukkos we say full Hallel, real Hallel, each and every day of Sukkos. On Pesach we only say full Hallel the first day, or in Chutz La'aretz the first 2 days. Why? What's the difference? So there are two reasons given. The Medrash, there's a Medrash quoted called Medrash Harninu, quoted in the Shibali Haleket in Ilchus Rosh Chodesh, where the Medrash says, based on this idea, what you're going to say, Hallel, on the Shvi Shal Pesach, Masayale Tovin Bayam Atamim Om Shira, is inappropriate. You can't say Hallel on the day when all of your enemies are being killed. Yes, celebrate that you are saved. But don't go overboard with Hallel. And that's the seventh day of Pesach. And if you're not going to say it the seventh day of Pesach, it's inappropriate to say a Chol HaMoed, that Chol HaMoed should be even more important, so to speak, than the seventh day. So this Svara of Bin Fola Yivchal Tismach is the reason, one of the two reasons, we don't say Hallel on all the rest of the day, on seventh day of Pesach, and then Memela on the rest of Chol HaMoed. The problem that is asked is that the Gemara in Arachin and Daf Yud has a different reason why we don't say Hallel on the rest of Pesach. And that is, it doesn't have a different carbon. The Gemara says Sukkot has a unique carbon every day, which reflects a unique Kedushas Hayom, while Pesach has the same carbon. Same carbon every day. So you need a new carbon to say Hallel. So ask the Mefarshim, Rav Mirsky, in the first volume of Hegyoni Halacha, has a beautiful piece where he discusses, what do you need both reasons for? What do you need the reason? Why we don't say Hallel on the rest of Pesach, including Shisha Pesach, is based on the Pasuk here, Libi Lamov Yizak, we cry, but follow Yivchal Tismach, or is it that it doesn't have a separate carbon? So he writes amazingly, the Gemara in Erechin there on Daf Yud discusses really that there are two types of Hallel. There's Hallel based on the sanctity of the day, Kedushas Hayom, which is Shabbos and Yantif and all the requirements there. And for that you need Isser Malacha, and for that you need a separate carbon, and it has to be called a Moed. But then the Gemara at the end of that Gemara says there's another type of Hallel, and that is Hallel on a Nes. Chanukah doesn't have all those reasons, but we say Hallel every day of Chanukah, because that's Hallel on a Nes. Purim doesn't have those, but we should have said it if there weren't other reasons why we don't say Hallel on Purim. So suggests Rav Mirsky, based on quoting some Achronim, maybe the point is that these two reasons are to explain why we don't have either Hallel on Pesach. We don't have the Hallel of Yontif because it doesn't have a separate carbon. We don't have the Hallel of Anes because Ma'aseh Yadei Tovim Bayam, Vatem Omrim Shira. But either way, this pasuk said by Yeshayahu is related to that issue. So again, pasuk A. Libi Libo Av Yizak, so he cries out as he gives this nevua. Bricheha Atsoar Eglesh Lishia. Right, the ones that run away from the word Boreach, they run all the way to Tsoar. Eglesh Lishia, throughout Chazal, the third calf is like the plump, the juiciest calves. That's how Yeshayahu characterizes. The best of Moav are ruined. And they run up to Luchis, Bivchi, Yalabo, Kiderech Oranim. He's quoting all of the escape routes, all of the towns of the escape routes of Moav. You know, they're all crying there. Kimei Nimrim, Shamosiyu, the waters of Nimrim will be desolate. Ki Yavesh Chatzir, Kaladesha, the grass, the growth. Yerek Loaya, there's no produce. It's scorched earth. Nothing left of Moav. Al-Kain Yitra Asa. What does that phrase mean? Al-Kain Yitra Asa. So Pashas, it means they did a lot. They've done a lot of evil. Al-Kain Yitra Asa. Rashi says, Al-Kain Yitra Asa. Al-Asher Yitra Asa. For the extra specifically that they did. Tavo Alav HaPuranis Hazeh Shehayu Kfuyei Tova. Rashi says they were ingratitude. They did not have a karas hatov. Why? Shaharei bekama makomos avad Avram lelot. So many times Avram helped out Lot. Remember who's Lot? Lot is the father of Moav, right? Lot was with his daughters, Ammon and Moav. So that was one of his daughters. So the nation owed Avraham and Avram's children. Where did Avram save Lot? Bitseiso mecharon, ubalechto the Mitzrayim, ubizchuso shalech mitocha afecha, uvinilcham alavim amrafa v'chareirav. He was saved from Sodom, and he saved him from the four kings and the five kings. V'hayalahem ligmol tova lizaro. Out of any nation in the world, they should show some love and hakaras hatov to Bnei Yisrael, children of Avraham. V'heim hayu monim osam. And what they do when Sancherev, you know, knocked out Reuven and Gad? Oh, they went and they rejoiced and they came out and they gave us flasks full of salty water. It was terrible. They helped him out. So Dafka, Rashi says, they should have had Kakara Satov because of what Avraham did, and they didn't. And you don't even need Rashi for that. I mean, Rashi is amazing, but it's a pasuk in Chumash. As we know, in Parshas Kisetze, the pasuk says, why we are not allowed to marry Ammon and Moav, the males, Lo Yavo Ammoni o Moavi Pekal Hashem, Gam Dor Asiri, even 10th generation, they can never marry in. The Torah gives two reasons. Number one is a lack of Akara Satov. Al Davar Shalo Kidmu Eschem Balechem Uvamayim, Baderech Potesim Mimisrayim. Why did they bring out food and drink when you left Egypt? And also they hired Bilam. We've discussed in Parsha Shirim numerous times. What? That's an afterthought? They didn't bring out food and water. And also they hired Bilam to curse you. Isn't that the main reason? So I saw that Mayana Shal Torah says, no, they worked together. They didn't bring us out food and water. Unless you say they couldn't afford it. Unless you say, oh, you know, you can't afford them. They couldn't spend money on anything. They hired Bilam. He probably cost a pretty penny, right? So those two reasons really work together. But on that pasuk, in Kisetze, the Ramban writes, this is the source for Hakaras HaTov in the Torah. Again, there are other implicit sources. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't do the Makkah of Dam because the water saved him. He wouldn't do Kinim because the dirt saved him, covered the Mitzri. But the Ramban says, on those psukim in Kisetze, Vahanira Eli, Ki Akasav Hirchik Shnei Achim Eile. Why does the Pasuk, why are we not allowed to marry Ammon and Moav? What is so dangerous spiritually about Moav? Right? No, how many nations cannot marry in to become Jewish and marry in? These two. shahayu gmule chesed me Avraham shehitzal aviyah v'imam en acher v'ashvi ubizchuso sholcham Hashem itoch afecha hayu chayavim lasos tova im Yisrael v'imasu imayim ra'a. Right, hakaras atov kfui tova. That is such a basic midah. We are called Yehudim. That's part of who we are from the word modeh. We recognize that we need others and we thanking and recognizing the goodness in others. That is such a basic Jewish midah, and that is what they don't have. And that is how Rashi interprets the pasuk here. Ki al kein yitra asa. They did extra and they went against what they should have done. Right? How they should have reacted. And that's why all this is happening. Ki kifa, right? The Abu Dram writes also in his commentary on Siddur, the only part of Chazaras HaShatz that we don't just say Amen, but we do ourselves, is Modim. Because you can't say it by proxy. It has to be personal. It has to be yours, right? And that's why Moav is so antithetical to this. They are out. We are not allowed to marry them. Ki kifa hazak al kuvu Moav. Now we continue. These cryings and screams went around the border of Moav. Adaglayim, Yolasa, Uver Elim, all of these other descriptions of crying. Ki meha dimon malu dam, the dimon river was full of dam, a little play on words. Ki ashis al dimon no safot, and then he ends off. And if anybody survives from Sancherev, don't think you're going to survive too long, because Nebuchadnezzar will take care of you a few years later. Lefleitas Moav aryeh. The Radak says it just means lions going around the world at that time. Rashi says, Nebuchadnezzar is called an Aryeh. So if anybody's left over after Sancherev, my enemies are my enemies' enemies. Right? Nebuchadnezzar, Sancherev, these are the Jews' enemies. These were also Moab's enemies, and they took care. Again, Aryeh, towards the end, we've spoken a little bit about animals over the past couple of prakim. Aryeh is the animal that comes up the most in all of Tanakh. Right? More than 150 times you have Aryeh, and there are so many words even that mean Aryeh. Sometimes different types of Aryehs, sometimes different stages of an Aryeh. These are in a pasuk in Eov. The pasuk in Eov in the fourth perek talks about different types of Aryeh. In perek Dalet, pasuk Yud says he of Shagas Aryeh. That's what the name of the sefer where it comes from. Shagas Aryeh, Aryeh kol shachal kfir layish lavi. Right, just in these two psukim, you have five types of Aryeh. There are midrashim also. The Medrash says that there are really seven names. The Medrash in Yalkut Shimoni and Mishlei, the line has seven names: Ari, Shachal, Kfir, Lavi, Laish, Shachatz, Gur Aryeh, as in the Maharal. So again, all of these are different ideas. Again, it's a symbol, but when the Nebuchadnezzar is classified as an animal, according to Rashi, we pick an Aryeh because there's a certain power. It's not the fastest animal. In one of his articles, Rav Slifkin points this out. It's not the strongest, and it's not the fastest, and it's not the loudest. It doesn't have any, it's not the most in any, but it's the only one that has a lot of all of them. It has a lot of all of them, and that's what makes it the king of the jungle, right? And that's the Aryeh, as is described here in the Navi. Okay, we'll have to stop here, but Hashem, next time we'll pick up with the second parak that has to do with the prophecy regarding Moav.